We come to our Old Testament reading this morning, which is a psalm of David, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. This is a penitent psalm, a very striking psalm as we read it. It strikes to the heart of every sinner. And here we experience David as he cries out to God in repentance. And here we have in this psalm a blueprint for our own crying out for God for his repentance. This passage of scripture speaks of a man's repentance and God's forgiveness of sin. David recognized fully his horrendous sin against God, and he blamed nobody but himself and begged for divine forgiveness. Thank you, Margaret.
Psalm 51, verses 1 to 17. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret. We see here in this psalm how openly David just pours his heart out before God. And we hear today in the 21st century, our forgiveness of sin is also the same. It's based on God's covenant of grace through the work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, his work on the cross and as our great high priest today. But just as David did, we must repent of sin and seek his forgiveness with a contrite heart. With a contrite heart. That's our New Testament reading comes from Mark's Gospel. Chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Part of Jesus' ministry was to prepare his disciples. This was this inner group. He wanted to prepare them for his crucifixion, followed by his second coming for glory's sake. And these men really struggled to understand. Jesus was speaking of things that were soon to come to pass, his death and his burial, and that he was raised from the tomb on the third day. And this the disciples could not comprehend. And here we experience Jesus trying to bring all this to light in their hearts, beginning at verse 31. And he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days he would rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. When he had turned around and he looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." What a powerful message. And could you imagine the disciples around Jesus at that particular day trying to decipher what he was expressing there to them? Jesus spoke of the nature of his kingdom, which would be so different to the ways of men. Jesus' way here, as he explains to them, is a way of pain and a way of suffering. But these truths that Jesus spoke of apply to every Christian in the church today. As we follow our Lord, we are different from the world, different from the secular world today. Our focus is different. Our treasures, our riches are different. In verse 34, Jesus says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To follow Christ, there is a cost. This cost is not a cost of money as we know it today. To be saved today doesn't cost us anything physically. It's not of works. It's all about our heart. And in this, it is self-denial. And we can read that how David was disgusted with himself that he'd sinned against God in the Old Testament. And for us today, to follow Christ is self-denial. It is spiritual. What does Jesus say? "Put your worldliness aside and follow me." Our salvation is all of God's grace, offered to us in the form of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth expressly to redeem us from our sins. It is offered here in the Gospels even to the chief of sinners, without price. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And so the question is, for each one of us today, is all who accept this salvation must prove their faith to him. Must prove our faith in him. How? By a humble and contrite heart, by repentance of sin, and then by taking up the cross and following him as our captain. As our captain, as he said in the book of Hebrews, "For the believer to enter heaven, there will be pain and suffering and conflict here on earth, because We have before us in our hands this morning the cross of doctrine. The cross of doctrine. In Galatians 4:14-8, we read, Paul says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel," and how many gospels are there in the world today? "Any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." We need to have before us and in our heart and our mind God's unadulterated word. We need the cross of faith. In Hebrews, we read in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." So what we're saying here in our faith, that our treasure, our faith, cannot be seen in this world. Our faith is not of this world. The things that are rich and treasures to us are not the things of this world. Those are the things this world despises and ridicules. The world is all about self-gratification, appealing to the flesh. But we as followers of Christ must be willing to crucify the flesh and mortify the deeds of the body. And in this, the cross of Jesus was willing to bear. Jesus has gone before us. He is the first fruits of all those who will be saved. The cross, this is the cross Jesus was willing to bear on our behalf. And we who worship here this morning belong to him. And so we're going against the flow of the world, going against the norm. And because of that, we will enter into a daily fight with the devil. And that is to come out of the world, which may cost our earthly life. But this we must do in order to be able to wear a crown in heaven. We must carry our cross just as Jesus carried his cross. Let us not be put off by the cross. It may be heavy, but we have the promise that Jesus will give us the grace and the strength to bear it. In Philippians 4:3, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." "My strength is sufficient for you," he told Paul. "Don't worry. I will look after you. I'll be with you." Remember, thousands have gone before us. If we remember back to the 1500s in England, how many were burned at the stake for their faith in Christ? Because they believed the unadulterated word of God. They would not be shaken and they would not be turned around. They would not be sucked in by Satan to believe a lie. They bore their burden for glory's sake. So let us not hold back. Let us today be encouraged. And if we look around the world today in the Middle East, Christians are being hunted. Their homes and their churches are targeted today and destroyed. And we here in this great country of ours may face a little ridicule for our beliefs. But we're free. We're free to worship. So we need to continue to uphold those who are suffering today in our prayers. And getting back to our walk, even if our cross may be heavy to bear, if our cross is heavy, if it's a burden, if we struggle under the weight of following Christ, it is only for a few years, because we have God's glory at the end and God's glory is eternal. So let us ask ourselves this morning, does our Christianity cost us? Have we had to make sacrifices for Jesus' sake? Is our faith, is our religion real? Does it have the true stamp of heaven? And if it hasn't got the true stamp of heaven, if we cannot feel the presence of Christ in our heart, then are we saved? Are we saved? We can all agree that a religion that costs nothing is worth nothing. Everything else is the same in this world. If it costs you nothing, it's worth nothing. It will do no good today and with no salvation in the life to come. And then we look at verses 36 and 37 this morning, where Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Have we gained the whole world at the cost of our soul? Let not the devil trick us into believing that we can have both Christ and the world. If we go back into scriptures and we go right back into Genesis and we go right back into chapter 3 of Genesis, and there was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The serpent come up and tested Eve, and you can take of the tree of the knowledge of truth, of good and evil. But God said I would die. You would not surely die. You will not surely die. You will not surely die. So Eve thought she could have both. And as a result, there was a sacrifice. And the sacrifices have continued right down through the ages till Jesus went to the cross. Let not the devil trick us into believing that we can have both Christ and the world. We all have a soul. Our soul will live forever. Our soul lives long after our flesh turns to dust. And for our soul, we must give an account to God. We must be reconciled to God, or hell awaits. But sadly, most people today, I believe, are more concerned about this world, what they see and what they feel and what they want. And yet, the warning is in the scriptures. Jesus has just given it to these people. Any man can lose his own soul. He cannot save it. Only Christ can save our soul. That's why we must come to him. And when you think about our soul, any man can murder his soul by loving sin and clinging to the world. Or he may poison his soul by believing false doctrine. He may starve his soul by rejecting all the means of grace given to us in the scriptures, by rejecting the gospel message of Christ. I want to give you an example. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Jesus said there, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' I will then declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart from me. I never knew you.'" Man has many ways of losing his soul, which nothing in this world can make up. All of the world's treasures will not compensate for a lost soul before Almighty God. Many have chosen the world over God's kingdom, and many, like Esau, as we read about in the Old Testament, have repented, but too late. He sold his inheritance. He cried out to his father, Isaac, haven't you got a blessing for me? Haven't you got a blessing for me? No, I haven't. He lifted up his voice and he cried, full of repentance, but too late. It was done. It was done. And for us here this morning, tomorrow may be too late to seek Christ's forgiveness. And then we come to verse 38 of our scripture this morning. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Of course, there's no one in the church ashamed of Christ, but we're all guilty of shying away. For when we hide our faith and do not speak forth under the strain of opposition and scoffing, or when we're too ashamed to express our commitment to Christ's doctrine, whoever shrinks from confessing Christ for fear of ridicule and persecution is ashamed of Christ. In Matthew 10:33, Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many today would sooner face physical danger than the ridicule from other men's opinions. Let us pray for faith daily, for courage to confess Christ our Lord before men. For he died on the cross, not for himself, but for us. He became a spectacle for us. So let us serve him daily without fear or favour. For when we here this morning are invited to our Lord's table, we are reminded of his commitment to us. We are reminded of the price he paid and of the promise that we will be with him one day in glory. Let us take the bread and the cup of this table with a renewed commitment that we will be faithful and true for heaven's sake, that we will be proud to carry the cross of Christ, that we would be a vessel of honour in his very hand. And I just want to remind you from Acts chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, the disciples after Pentecost, they were preaching and sharing the gospel everywhere and causing strife to the religious leaders of the day. And they rounded them up. Then the high priest rose up and all those with him, and which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in prison. And an angel came and set them free. And when they got together again, when they had brought them and they caught them and brought them and set them before the council, the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name, the name of Jesus Christ? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.